the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love. Torn between my precious friends and family and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I've spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and gently fade into the sleep of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace.
Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home.
What a song. What a song. I like that song. It was sung at my sweetheart's memorial service, and I guess that's why I love it. And welcome to Open Bible Dialogue on this special Saturday. This is a special Saturday. It happens to be my birthday, and I'm 83 years old. And everybody saw that cake with 38. Well, it was 83, and they took the pictures, and then I messed with it and changed it to 38, and they took another picture and put it on Facebook. I am sorry, but that was their fun with me, and I don't mind, and welcome to this broadcast. And we have got a special broadcast today. Two Bible prophets murdered on the street of Jerusalem. Two Bible prophets murdered on the street of Jerusalem. You say, Reverend Chambers, where did you get that news? I got it from the Bible. You say, it hasn't happened yet, has it? No, but it's happened as though in prophecy, and it will happen absolutely. Nothing in this book is fantasy. Nothing in this book is a fairy tale. This book does not and is not written as a fiction book. It is the truth. And it is the truth sometimes in forethought and sometimes in afterthought. And this happens to be forethought, the prophecy of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Did you know that the book of Revelation is literally, I'm telling you, without one question in the world, the book of Revelation is literally the exact picture of how this world is going to end. It is not fantasy again. It is not fiction. It is the prophetic word of God. And don't you doubt it. It's dangerous to doubt the book of Revelation. It's dangerous to deny the book of Revelation. And it will cost you your soul if you try to change it. That's what the Bible said. It will cost you your soul. He will remove your name out of the book of life if you mess with this Bible. And the book of Revelation is the last book, and it is right. It is pure. It is perfect. Now, two prophets dying as being murdered, godly prophets, Bible prophets, worldwide prophets. I mean, the whole world is hearing these two great men, these two prophetic gentlemen. The whole world is hearing them, and they're prophesying to the world. And God is giving the world one last chance at that particular period. See, this is in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period. This begins at the rapture, and this ends when Jesus comes back to the earth to set up his kingdom. So there's a seven-year drama in between the rapture and the return of Christ to the earth, actually to the earth. In the rapture, he comes in the sky. In the end, he comes to the earth. And there's a seven-year period in there, and in the middle of this period, somewhere close to the middle, these two prophets are turned loose by God, and they preach to the world. They preach to the world. I mean, they have supernatural power given to them by the Holy Spirit of God operating in them, of course, and they literally anger the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil and the whole kingdom of the devil on this earth, and everybody is waiting for them to finally get their murder. And of course, they are murdered, and they left to lay on the streets for 3.5 days. They decompose on the street of Jerusalem, and the world's having a picnic and a party, but God isn't finished. You can always know that the last word doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from any religious figure. It don't come from nobody on the face of the earth, no politician. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't come. The last word always comes from God. Now, you can settle that. The last word will be spoken by the Father, or acted by the Father. He speaks and sometimes he acts, but both are his word. And when he acts, it's final. There is no court of appeal to which you can go for God's actions or for God's words. They are final. Now, we want to deal with this. It's in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. It's in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. And it's a breathtaking chapter. It really is. It's a picture. And you see the Bible from Revelation chapter 6 until the end of the book of Revelation, all about chapter 20. The earth is, the book of Revelation is divided into two scenes of the seven-year tribulation period. You got the first scene that begins in chapter 4 and goes to this chapter 11. And then chapter 12 reverts back to the same as chapter 4. And you see the same scene from a different viewpoint. In the first viewpoint, you see the scene as though it was from heaven. In the second viewpoint, you see the scene as though it were from the earth. And so you have two pictures of the 7 years, and chapter 11 is the conclusion of the first picture, which is an earthly scene from chapter 4 to chapter 11. Now, there are things that are seen in heaven, but they are told in the earth arena, in the earth perspective. And so let's go to chapter 11, and let's just begin and read a verse or two and kind of get started here. And there was given unto me, and that's an angel, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar. Notice there's an altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without, the temple leave out. leave out, and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 3.5 years, or 42 months, 3.5 years. And then he says, I will give power. And he goes into the two witnesses. Now, what I want to first do is show you that this picture is a reality picture. It is at this given period, and the center of the activity at this point is the city of Jerusalem, the city of earthly Jerusalem. Now, John is seeing this in a vision, but the temple and the altar he sees in heaven in this vision actually will occur in earth or on the earth in the city of Jerusalem. Now, how does Jerusalem become the focus here? Well, to see that, let's go to the words of Jesus. You know, when you go to Jesus' words, you know you got it settled. It's settled anyway, and already when the Bible speaks, it's settled. But I love to go to Jesus' words and really see the double settling of the Bible. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel in the city, by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, Jesus is saying, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, that's in Jerusalem, then you know that the end has come. Now, listen to me. That abomination of desolation is an image of the Antichrist. An image of the Antichrist that the false prophet effects. This image is made to live. I mean, it's like a robot. Now, how it will be, I don't know all the details, but I just know there's an image of the Antichrist that comes alive. And this living image of the Antichrist is portrayed to the whole world. The world sees it. The world sees it. And then the world hears a demand that everybody has got to worship this image. Let me read it again. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. Let him which is on a housetop not come down, not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Listen, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, Jesus is telling us that at the time when these two prophets are slain, it is a period of such darkness and such danger that people who live in Jerusalem and they're out in the field, don't go back home. Get yourself out. Go. Whatever be your condition, get gone, move, flee. Get the Antichrist is out to destroy you. And so this is when the Antichrist takes over Jerusalem, and the Jews have to flee into a place prepared for them. But then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world, all the way back to before Adam and Eve, all the way back to this time. No, nor ever shall be. This is the darkest period of human history. This is the darkest period of human history. If you miss the rapture, you'll be in the middle of it. If you miss the rapture, you'll be in the middle of it. I pray to God, nobody listening to me will miss the rapture, but I have enough understanding to know that probably a majority of you listening to me will miss the rapture. The church is so full of people who think they're ready for the rapture, and they're no more ready. Listen, when you're ready for the rapture, you are the property of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to nobody but Jesus when you're ready for that rapture, my friend. You are his, and he is the Lord of your life. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, that's Jesus telling us the period in which this very scene in which I'm talking to you about will occur. It is awesome. It is an awesome time. Well, that's giving me trouble. My wife always fixed that for me, but she's not here now. Listen to me. I'm telling you, it will be a terrible period. It will be a horrible time. It will be a horrible time. And you got to understand, you don't want to be here. But this is the chapter 11. We're seeing this abomination. See, the abomination of desolation is put in the temple at the middle of the 7 years. So this is right here at the middle of the 7 years. And there's always a little debate on what is first, what is second. Those things don't matter. They will all be in the proper order when they occur. So you understand that we're talking about one dark period of human history. One dark period of human history. Now let's go back. I want to make sure you see the scene as it is going to be. The next part of it you see is that these two prophets are turned loose, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's three and a half years. They shall prophesy clothed in sackcloth. Now, these two prophets are going to be preaching to the world while the Jews are fleeing Jerusalem, while the Antichrist is making havoc out of the world, while people are being murdered by the millions, where people who profess Christ are being slaughtered and killed. It will be one more dark human period. You got to get that picture now. The book of Revelation is a totally dependable prophecy. Every word will be fulfilled properly and rightly, and you cannot doubt it. And don't criticize this book for the Lord's sake. Now, the Antichrist loves to do things that are dark as it relates to Jerusalem. If you knew how much the Antichrist hates Jerusalem, how much the devil hates Jerusalem, how the world fights over Jerusalem, the center of much activity and much happening and much debate. Now, the world will see this image. Let me ask you a question. How do you think the world will see the image of that Antichrist when he is exalted there in the temple in Jerusalem? Did you know that this Facebook that I'm on right now and the whole of the social media is a perfect vehicle, just like you can see me anywhere on the face of this earth? There's not a place in the world I'm not visible if you have the right piece of equipment. Not a place. The whole earth, completely, I'm visible right now. Well, that's exactly what will be when this Antichrist has an image in the city of Jerusalem. You're telling me, Brother Chambers, the world is already ready for this? I'm telling you, not one thing has to happen to get this world ready for the scene in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Not a thing. We are there. We're not going to get there. We are there. Do you understand? We are there. Right now, we are there. And this could occur, and it would be no problem. Any person could walk into that place where he is visible, put the phone, whatever your photo operation is in, right on you, and put it on Facebook, and the world would have it. Brother Chambers, we are ready for this dark time in human history. And here I am, not even ready for the rapture. Here I am just playing religion. Here I am playing church. Here I am just doing my own little things. Doing my own little things. And if I would and could and should, I'd get myself ready. I'd get myself ready. Do you understand? Two prophets? Oh, this is a beautiful picture. Now, I don't want to go right to them for a moment. I want to take a little time to make sure you are aware of all of these events. Now, Jesus said what I just read to you in Matthew 24. I want to go back to the book of Daniel, and I want to show you how what Jesus said. Now, what Jesus said is 2,000 years old, 1,900 and something, almost 2,000. What Daniel said, and he prophesied this very same thing. I mean, this very same event. And so here you have a picture of something prophesied approximately 26 or 2,700 years ago, 927. Let me read that to you, okay? And he shall confirm the covenant the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years, 1 week of years. And in the midst of the weeks, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He will cut off the Jews from worshiping in their temple. The middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist revealed. They make an image of him. The world sees the image. He goes to the temple and says, no more worship in this temple. He ceases all the oblation, all the sacrifices. He tells the Jews, you will worship no more. And they are driven from worshiping in their temple. And he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspread of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And the determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What does he mean by the determinate poured upon the desolate? He means that the world is going to feel the weight of all of this as God effects his divine prophetic word, as God pours forth his divine judgment, as God allows the Antichrist to reveal himself to the world and demand worship. And that's when he gives us that mark of the beast. We don't know exactly what it will be. We don't know exactly how it will be contacted or given, how it will be forced on people. We don't have all those details. I mean, the devil's not going to reveal his hand, but I'm telling you, it's all coming. And God has said how it will be, and the fullness of it will occur. Now, I go over to Daniel 12 and read you just a little bit here, for you need to understand. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And of that time, the prince shall be delivered, and the prince shall be delivered, or the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So there's going to be a deliverance. There's going to be a message. The world's going to have opportunity. There are many good things happening, occurring. And God is allowing judgment to come in his fullness. But at intervals during this time, it's beautiful to see. There are angels that fly through the heavens with the everlasting gospel. There are 144,000 Jews that are sealed and made witness to the nations, and especially to the Jewish people who are still alive in unbelief. And then there are people getting right with God and coming to Christ who are making commitment to the Savior, and they're giving themselves. And then there's these two prophets. You see, God never leaves the world without an opportunity to come to grace. God never leaves the world without an opportunity to come to grace. Now, there'll be many people who cannot come to grace. We have scriptures that show us that people who rejected him, denied him, turned their back on him, want nothing to do with him, that pass the point of no return. They become sealed in their surrender to God's judgment. They become sealed in their sins and their darkness. And for them, they cannot repent. Now, I don't know who it may be, and you don't know who it may be, but you better not play games. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it's over for you, friend. And there's a point in which darkness comes like a storm and takes complete possession of your heart, and you cannot turn around. Did you know that any one of you sitting out there who is unsaved, who's never come to Christ, who rejected the calls of the gospel every time you ever heard them? There are people sitting out there right now who are on the verge of their last opportunity, their last point of contact with anything divine. And when you cross that point, and I don't know where it is, only God. I'm glad I don't know where it is. I've seen a few people that I could tell they'd probably got there, but I wouldn't be the one to go around and declare it on them. That's up to God. But I'm here to tell you, friend, this darkness is coming in all of its hellish power. Now, what I want to do then, you see it's going to happen. You see the prophets, Daniel. You see the prophet, the other prophets. You can go Zechariah. You can go to Isaiah. You can go to Jeremiah. You can go to many different of the prophets and the great spokesman for God. And my dear friend, I'm telling you, that darkness is coming. The Old and the New Testament both paint the picture for us. Now, let's get to these two witnesses. This is my subject for today. Who are these two men? Nobody knows. Don't you try to guess who they are. Nobody knows who these two prophets are. God will choose them at a given time. Some think it may be Elijah and Enoch. Some think it may be Elijah and what was the other one? Oh, Moses. You know, some people have different ideas. I would leave that alone. I don't get into that simply because when the Bible hasn't spoken, only fools can determine some kind of answer. And I don't try to give any answers. I stay away from that until I hear what the Bible says. But let's look at these two men. We don't know who they are. We don't know anything about them except God chooses them and they are mighty prophets. Now let's go and look at these men. This is the 11th chapter of Revelation, and we're going to look at them and get some picture. And I will give power. Notice he said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,230 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. These are two men that God has chosen, God has prepared or will prepare, and they will be prophets, and they will prophesy to the world. It won't just be in Jerusalem. It won't just be in America. It'll be all over the earth. They will be prophesying. If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in the same or like manner be killed. There won't be no playing with these men. It won't be no blaspheming them and walk away scot-free. Anybody that messes with these two men are in terrible trouble. They are prophets of God. They are given supernatural power by the hand of God upon them, and they go forth, and the world has an opportunity to repent. The world hears the final words from God Almighty. The world now is getting their very last chance to turn around and come to God. And these two mighty prophets have become the furor of God throughout the earth. And you talk about being hated. You know right now how much godly men are hated. You know how much right now preachers who preach the book of Revelation, just like I'm doing, are hated. Right before the radio program, I got a call or a text saying, you are being used on internet with some ugly and dark stuff. They didn't tell me to tell you, but I put an instant message on Facebook to say, it isn't me. Evil men do evil things. I'm not evil, not about to become evil. I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to take the next flight out of here. You know the next flight is the rapture, didn't you know that? I'm not talking about death now. I know the next supernatural trip from earth to heaven is the rapture. The next supernatural trip from earth to heaven. Enoch has gone up. Moses, of course, was buried by God, and even the devil disputed over the body of Moses. We got some beautiful stories in the Bible. Enoch, oh, yeah, great stories in the Bible. But the next special trip out of here is the rapture. And if you want to go, you better get yourself ready. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. I can't say that strong enough. Unto them that look for him shall he appear. Well, these two men are God's witness, and they're witnessing to the world. They have power to shut heaven. They have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. 3.5 years, no rain. Can you imagine? 3.5 years and no rain. That's what the Bible said. And have power over water to turn them to blood. They can walk up to an ocean. They can walk up to a place in the ocean. They can walk up to a river, any kind of body of water, and just simply turn it to blood. Turn it to blood. So the people who live around that source instantly have no water to drink and nothing they can drink that will sustain their body. They have power to shut heaven, that it rain not the days of their prophecy. And they have power over water to turn the water to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now these men are mighty prophets. They are literal. They will exist. They will do their ministry. And they will be mightily, mightily used. I promise you, they will be mightily, mightily used. Now, you got to understand, These men are men. They're human beings. They're not angels. They're not some kind of supernatural bodies. They're ordinary men. They can die. They can die. And the Antichrist and his crowd can't wait until they die. And so we see, and when they have finished their testimony. Now, I love that. When they have finished their testimony. Will you notice that the devil can't touch them until they're through with their preaching? Did you notice that? The devil can't touch them until they're through with their preaching. Let me stop right here and tell you the phone number. If you will call, I would love to answer questions about these two prophets. I don't think the answer is hard to come by. And I think maybe any one of you that Bible students can read it and study it and get a good picture. But they're often picture. In fact, I already had someone to put on the internet. You're dealing with a very controversial subject. A lot of different opinions. Well, I don't think there's much controversy about it. I mean, the Bible is black and white. It's going to happen like he said it's going to happen. And there isn't no argument. There isn't no argument. If you think the Bible is some kind of fiction book, you're already in trouble. And you're already completely off the page. I mean, you're not even on the planet when you don't think the Bible speaks with plain words, my dear friend. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Now that's the Antichrist right hand. His armor bearer, I guess we'd call him. It's the false prophet. It's the false prophet. The second of the beast. You have the devil. You have the first beast, and you have the second beast. The devil acts as he's God. The first beast acts as he's the Christ. The second beast is in the order of the Holy Spirit, except he's false to the core. He's totally false. All of this is a facade. The devil and his false anointed crowd put on a facade. You have an unholy trinity, as I've often called them, an unholy trinity, an unholy devil, an unholy Christ, and an unholy spirit. And so when these two prophets have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, this is when those two great Bible prophets die on the street of Jerusalem. This will happen sometimes toward the end of the second half. So this is not far away from the end of the 7-year tribulation period. We don't know exactly the moment. God didn't tell us that. We just know it's within the period of the 7 years. And so they are killed. They are finally overcome. But notice, not until their testimony was finished. Somebody says, the devil's going to kill you, Joe Chambers. He can't touch me until God's finished with me. He can't touch me till God's finished with me. He can aggravate the daylights out of me. He can come against me, and there's ways that I've been tormented. I'm not kidding you. But I promise you, God is faithful, and God never fails. Now, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, notice this. This is Jerusalem. And he didn't say literally. He said spiritually. They are called Sodom and Egypt. You see, right now, Jerusalem is in dark unbelief. Oh, there's some believing people there. There's some good, decent people in Jerusalem. There are many Jews, Orthodox Jews, that are looking for the Messiah. They're looking at the wrong place and in the wrong way and for the wrong person. But they're looking for the Messiah. And they're genuine in their faith. There are many wonderful Jews who live a very pure and a very clean biblical life. It's all by the Old Testament. They are not in the New Testament, but they are righteous to the point of the law. Now, the city is called Sodom and Egypt. You can't give a city much worse of a name than to call it Sodom. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, nothing but homosexuality. Jerusalem is a center of sodomy and transgender. Those wicked spirits of sodomy and lesbianism, they are, yes, they're big time in the city of Jerusalem. very big time, and they tolerate them. They give them the same right of moral objectivity as they give to those who live within the law of Moses. Not the people that live in the law. They don't give it to them. It's the government. It's the liberals. You can't find liberals any worse liberals than many Jews who are liberals and in that vein. And I'm not putting them down. I'm pro-Israel all the way. And you heard me read from the book of Daniel how that God's got a prophet, Michael, who is going to stand for the people of the Jews. He's going to defend them, and they're going to be converted, and they're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens at the end of the 7 years, just as the world moves into the great 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Oh, we got so much to happen. Now, give us a call. I'd love to answer your question. I really would. Let me put up this phone number a minute here. I would love to answer your question. 704-391-0588. That's all you need to dial. And I will. They'll put you in here. I've got ladies on the job, and they'll answer your phone. Now, you need to order this material. This is a booklet. Today's program is on this booklet, Two Bible Prophets Murdered in Jerusalem. That's the name of the article. You got a picture of two men that look like a New Testament Jew or Old Testament Jewish prophets. And I'm telling you, that booklet you need, every one of you, every preacher out there needs. You ought to preach this sermon to your people. They need to know these kind of things. It's wonderful when people understand the book of Revelation. It makes a difference in their life. Are you hearing me? It makes a difference in their life. And you need to help your people understand this is going to happen. The readiness for it is right here. Now notice, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. The dead body, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now you know it has to be Jerusalem, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred, and they of the people and kindred and tongue and nations, they of the people and the kindred and the tongues and all the nations. Listen, the world is going to watch them decompose right on the street of Jerusalem. The world is going to watch their body as the flies swarm over them, and they begin to decompose. They begin to send forth the odor of death. The world is going to watch it. Now, the world is not just going to watch it. The world is going to love it. Now, can you believe that this world could become so dark and so evil and so wicked and so bound by the spirit of the Antichrist that they could watch two prophets of God who had spoken nothing but truth, who had preached nothing but the Bible, who had done wonderful things of miracles, who had all kinds of power to prove themselves as prophets of God, and the world is rejoicing over them decomposing on the street of Jerusalem. Now, this is one picture of the darkness that's coming on this world. If you don't see this and understand this and realize what darkness is coming, I don't know what I can do to help you. I really don't. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. The world is saying, don't bury them. We want to watch them rot. Don't bury them. We want to watch them decompose. We want to see the flies consume them. We want to watch the worms of death take over their bodies. And you can imagine them putting the camera up, letting everybody see the flies as they swarm over their dead bodies. You can imagine them with flies all over their eyes and all over their face. And the world is watching it, and the world's rejoicing. I hope you're getting the picture, because I'm telling you, it's a picture that I hope it makes the Bible real to you. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. You've been watching some of the dark events in America because they hate Donald Trump so bad. What they're saying and doing in their anger against Donald Trump is but a light picture of what's going to happen at this point. It's already happening. It's already gathering. The anger the world has had over President Trump declaring Jerusalem to be the embassy city for America. I mean, the anger, the hatred because he is pro-Israel in his conduct, has a son-in-law who is himself a Jew, and a daughter who herself has converted to the Jewish religion. Now, I'm not for them converting to the Jewish religion, but it is a sign of what is developing and what is taking place and the pro-Israel feeling in the White House. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts. The world begins to send gifts to one another as they rejoice over these two prophets that have been killed. You're talking about a scene that just about takes your breath away. It really is something else. And it's a picture of where the world is headed. It's a picture of what is taking place and the hatred for Christianity, the hatred for the name of Jesus, the hatred for the truth of the Bible and the truth of the gospel that we love with all our heart. And after 3 days, now 3 days has expired. They've been rejoicing. Gifts have been going in the mail and by postage and all kinds of means of sending mail. I mean, it's been going all over the world. Everybody's sending gifts. That liberal crowd, can you imagine the liberal crowd in Hollywood? Can you imagine the liberal crowd in New York City? Can you imagine the Democrat Party? Can you imagine the action of Pelosi and Schumer? Can you imagine all these things happening? And they're already developing. They're already gathering. If you don't think what's happening in our world is a preparation for what's going to take place, friend, you got your eyes closed. Open your eyes and listen and look, because it's happening. We're getting close to the end. But now, God isn't finished. Here they are decomposing on the street of Jerusalem. The world is beholding them in this state of death and the state of the effects of death. And they're rejoicing. They're sending gifts. But all of a sudden, listen to this. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God enters into them. And they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So all of a sudden the cameras are pointing to these two men who have been in the street decomposing for 3.5 days. The hot sun has been beaming down upon them. The smell has already touched much of the city. And suddenly God acts. God speaks. God begins to change the scene. And the Spirit of God and the Spirit of life enters into these two men, and they stand up on the streets. Hallelujah to the Lord God Jehovah and to Jesus Christ, his crucified Son. Hallelujah to the judgment that's coming upon the wicked and the ungodly. And the time of the judgment of all wickedness is at hand. Well, they stand up, and the world sees them. And how do they watch them? Social media, television. All the different means of communication. Never has there been such instant communication on a worldwide level as it will be at this given time. God enters into them. They sit upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Can you imagine the fear? The fear, anger and fear, the combination of anger and fear as these two men are suddenly alive. And they heard a great voice from heaven. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Come up hither. Now, the world hates it when I say that. That's a resurrection. That's a rapture. You can't call it nothing else, friend. I don't care what you say and what any other Bible scholar who don't take the word for word literal, they just missed it. Because this is a rapture. In fact, there's actually 7 parts to the rapture, counting Christ as number 1, and counting the last people resurrected in chapter 20 as number 7. And this picture is absolutely beautiful. They hear the voice of God saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. 7,000. And the remnant was affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and the third woe cometh is the next verse. Now, we're coming down to the wire in this scene. We're coming down to the wire. Two woes, one more woe. That's the end of it. The 7 years of tribulation will be up, and the great ending will begin. That starts over in chapter 19 and 20. My dear friend, I'm here to tell you this picture is quite breathtaking, and it will happen just like I have shown it to you. It will be an awesome time in the closing period of that 7 year tribulation period. I'm sure many people will turn and repent. Notice it said, and many people were frightened and gave glory to God. See, at the end of every great event, people have to give glory to God because the glory is the Lord's. Now, this picture from Revelation is a picture of where we are coming down to. We are so close to the rapture. I do not know. I try to think. I try to look at all the world events. I try to look at what's happening on the political arena, what's happening in the economic arena, what's taking place in the spiritual arena. The one world church is developing so fast, I can hardly believe my eyes and my ears. Right now, the whole charismatic Pentecostal world is getting rid of their altars. They're getting rid of their pulpits and getting them little lecterns, plexiglass lecterns. They're getting rid of the communion tables. Most churches don't want any pews. They don't want any stained glass windows. They don't want no cross on the wall. It is happening so fast until I don't know how to describe it to you. All I know to tell you is get yourself in a church that's Bible-centered. Get yourself in a church that's got an altar. Get yourself in a church that preaches the word in all of its loveliness and its anointing and its power and see where this world is headed. Do you not understand? I mean, look at all the preparation for the Antichrist. Look at everything ready to show the world the scene of the robot Antichrist when he is given life. I don't know how that life will be. I call it robot because I don't know what else to call it. He'll have life. He'll look real. He'll act real. Maybe he will be real. Maybe it's just a paranormal thing. It probably is. Now, friend, I'm telling you, if you're not ready to meet the Savior, you need to get ready. Christ is coming. It's at the door. It's imminent. It's imminent. If you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture, somebody has hoodooed you. If you don't believe that Jesus is coming before all of this begins, somebody's hoodooed you. Somebody that don't believe Revelation in its beautiful order. Somebody that don't believe the Bible in all of its great perspectives and truth. My dear friend, that rapture is fixing to occur. It could happen today. Did you know? We may only be 7 years away from the millennial reign. 7 years away from Jesus setting up his kingdom on the earth. All it's got to be is the rapture. 7 year tribulation period. This Christ, abomination of desolation, as Jesus described in Matthew 24, set up in Jerusalem. When he said there'll be darkness, be judgment, be sorrow, as it's never been. Jesus said it. Daniel said it. And Revelation said it. Friend, you can believe it. I said, Daniel said it. Jesus said it. The book of Revelation said it. And you can believe it. It's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready right now if the rapture should take place? Now, I'm gonna take these last 15 minutes to talk about the rapture. And I try to help you see that what I just showed you in Revelation 11 is an absolute perspective, just as though it was being read from a newspaper and it already happened. It has not yet happened, but it can happen, will happen at the proper time after the rapture, after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. At some point right near the end of the first 3.5 years, those two prophets are turned loose and they shake this earth. They shake the world. They make the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet so angry that they commit war against two people. Can you imagine the whole Antichrist world fighting two men? Whoa, if that's not a beautiful picture. The whole Antichrist armies, millions, with the armament of the whole kingdoms of the earth at his disposal. And the Antichrist can't kill them for 3.5 years until they finish their prophecy. And the anger has grown to such a point by that time that the whole world would give anything in the world to get rid of these two tormenting preachers, tormenting prophets. I have people who feel almost the same way about me, you know, because I just tell it like it is. I keep preaching that old-timey truth. I mean, I know the multitudes anymore that do not preach the rapture like I'm preaching it to you and making it plain to you, like I'm making the book of Revelation plain to you. I wish you'd get my book on the book of Revelation called The Masterpiece. The Masterpiece. It's really late, friend. It really is. Now, let's open the lines. I've got about 12 minutes. I want to answer your questions about the rapture. When will it occur? How will it happen? Who's going to go? I mean, what's got to happen next? What's got to occur down the road? Give me some picture, Brother Chambers. Well, I'm trying to give you that. I'm trying to make it plain to you. So call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want several calls now. I really do. I want several calls, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Well, let me give you the church number. 704 is what I meant to give you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Grab your phone. I want to talk to you. I want to answer your question. I want to get involved with all of you out there and somehow awake you to where we are. If you think I'm crazy, call me and tell me. I always enjoy that. It makes me know that I'm probably right. When somebody will at least call and tell me I'm not right. The Bible said, woe to the man that all men speak well of. You know, I don't expect to be loved by everybody. I don't expect to be spoken well of by everybody. Had to cut a man off my Facebook this week because he was crazy. And the stuff he was declaring was just false stuff. And I'm not going to allow it. I mean, I'll allow a little bit, but when it gets overboard, I know the point of saying, that's enough. You've had your say now. I'm going to let you go. And because I really want to get the truth out there. I am so burdened to see you saved. I am so burdened to see you saved. I've dedicated this year to cheeks that are stained with tears. I've dedicated this year to cheeks stained with tears. I really am. Give us a call. I want to talk to you. I want to hear what you got to say. I want to answer your question. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to get clear because I came in on the end of, or not the first part.
You didn't hear the first part.
I didn't hear the first part. So do you believe that there's going to be a pre-rapture or a pre-tribulation?
Oh, I'm pre-tribulation by all means. Anything else is heresy as far as I'm concerned. Jesus will come before those 7 years begin. That is so biblical. I mean, there's no way for anybody to prove anything else. They can try, take scriptures all out of context and all out of order, but the rapture will occur before the 7 years begin.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
I'm delighted, sir. If you have another question, I'll try to answer.
Okay. I don't. That was it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Hey, that is so important because there's such an array against the pre-trib rapture now. I mean, that's part of the heresy. That's part of the end time falling away. I mean, it really is. The Laodicean church is not looking for no coming of the Lord. The Laodicean church is after their big time religion. All you got to do is read Revelation chapter 18. It is a picture that's breathtaking. Then read Revelation chapter 13, starting, about 12 or 13, where it says the Laodicean church, the last of the seven. All you got pictures all through the Bible of people, and it is so breathtaking. I want to help you. If you're not ready for that rapture right now, you're in danger, dark, terrible danger. I just believe the rapture could take place before tomorrow. I don't know what I'm preaching yet in the morning. I think I know, but I'm not really sure. I'm not going to announce it, but I want you to be in church tomorrow. If you want to hear the truth. I mean, we really preach it here. We still have an altar down at the front. And we still honor the presence of God that is manifest at the sacred altar. Did you know that an altar in a Bible-believing church is an extension of the altar that's in heaven, in the temple of God? You study this Bible, You'll never find the church in heaven without without an altar. I mean, you'll never find it. The church and the altar. Go to chapter 14, I believe it's about verse 18, and you see the angels coming from the altar in heaven as they carry their judgments out over the earth. The Bible's just full of it. 386 times, I believe, the word altar is in your Bible. 386 or 88. I'm not sure, I believe it's 88. 388. Now, friend, I'm telling you, the coming of the Lord's at the door. The coming of the Lord's at the door. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. And these two prophets, oh yeah, they'll preach, and there will be some people saved. There's going to be a multitude of people saved during the tribulation period. But they're not going to be backslid Americans that played games and denied God and ran after the world. My Bible says very plainly, let's go to this while I'm waiting on you to call. You really ought to call. There's many of you out there that's got questions, and some of you may have, you know, contradictions of me. I don't mind listening. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to help you. I love to help people that have been misled. I really do. I love to help people that have been misled. And there's so many out there that's been misled. Oh, yeah, there are many. Been misled. They're all confused. They don't know who they hardly know who they are. That you be not soon shaken. This is 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. By no means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Never has the Antichrist been so revealed and so evident as right now. Listen, that this whole program was a revelation of the Antichrist and the false prophet and his activity. A revelation. He's being revealed everywhere. Everybody knows about the Antichrist. I mean, the movie people play all kinds of games with the idea of the Antichrist. There are so many Bible terms that have got into the movie world, especially in the past years, until it's everywhere. There's no reason to doubt that this is at hand. And the falling away, the falling away. What has happened to the church is a perfect picture of where we are in this world scene. It is dark. I'm telling you, it is dark. Now, let me go a little further so that I warn you and you don't get caught napping. See, so many people are napping. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming. The Antichrist don't get destroyed until Jesus comes back to the earth and to set up his kingdom. To set up his kingdom. All this cause shall send strong, for this cause God shall send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Never has people believed a lie as big time today. I know good men who have good positions in the church, who have come to deny the rapture before the tribulation, and they're vehement. They'll argue you down. They'll go completely bonkers trying to prove to you. They're just overwhelmed by it. It's a dark force. We that believe in the rapture, we treat people as kind and gentle, trying our best to help them. But those who hate the rapture, they hate us because we believe in the rapture before the tribulation. And so it makes it very plain. And they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They all might be damned with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Let me tell you how you know you're saved. You love the truth. You love the truth. You're in love with the things of the Bible. You're in love with God's word. Now, I love you. We're starting the year 2019. Today is my birthday. I'm 83 years old. I've got so many congratulations. Woo! I can't read them all. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you care and love me. I'm a man of the book. I believe the ancient truths, the truths that are unfailing. I believe we ought to return to the words of the past and live in the book. I'm telling you, there's so much beautiful in this book. It just never fails to amaze me at how much beauty is in this book. And let me read you something I just found. If I can find it quickly before the time is over here, This is an overwhelming statement. I just read it, yesterday? I guess it was. The book of Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation. My pages get all turned, and you can't hardly fold them aside. And it says, Beloved, yes, thank you. Beloved, when I give diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's time we contended for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's really what I'm sitting here doing. I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You're on the air. May I help you? Are you there? Cut your radio down. Are you there? Oh, well, that person is not there. They're trying to play a tape for me. I don't know which it is. Hey, call quickly. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338. I got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes maybe. I'd love to answer your question. Oh, I got 4 minutes, or at least part of 4 minutes, part three and something. Call me quickly. I want to try to help you. You know, the coming of the Lord is really at the door. It really is. It is at the door, my friend. It is at the door, and I want you to be ready to go. I want you to be ready to go, and you need to get yourself ready. Hey, would you like to surrender to Christ right now? Would you like to turn your life over to Him, receive Him as your Savior and your Lord? The blood of Jesus can wash you in just split seconds and make a new creature out of you, and you'll never be the same again. All you got to do is repent. Turn around. I'm turning to God with all my heart. I believe in the power of the blood. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm surrendering my life to Christ, and I want Christ to come in my life, and He will come in. I promise you, He's ready to save you. He's ready to make a new creature out of you. He's ready to set you on the course for heaven. He's ready to give you peace and joy and everlasting life, and you can have Him right now. You can have Him. Call quickly if you want to ask the question. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. Are there any Philadelphian churches today?
Are there any what?
Philadelphian.
Yes, sir, there's some Philadelphian churches. Paul Creek is one of them.
Okay.
We're absolutely a Philadelphian church. I love that question. We believe in the Word. Our people are not perfect, just like the Philadelphia church wasn't quite perfect, but they were genuine. They loved God, and the door was open to them to minister, and that's why I'm sitting here on the air. This church is 100% behind me. They help pay the bill.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your answer.
It'd be a joy to see you in church, my dear friend. Yes, there are Philadelphia church. Not many. I'm afraid to announce anybody today. It's just that late. I mean, we are in the end in time. Now, we have a few minutes here. I don't know. We have 1 minute. And if you have a question, I will try to answer. I'd love to have you in church. Our school is growing. This whole ministry is growing. We send out a prophecy news alert every month to anybody that wants to be on the mailing list. We have about 5,000 on that list. We have many friends on the internet. We're on radio. We're on internet. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. I mean, we're just trying our best to get the word out there because we care. We care about you. We care about your soul. We don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. Hell is going to be so terrible, I weep over people that I don't even know because I don't want nobody to go to hell. I really don't. I want them to be saved. I want them to be right with God. I want them to have the joys and the blessings of the Lord. I got to go. I love you. Hey, say happy birthday to me as I go. Happy birthday, Reverend Chambers. 83 years of age. Isn't that something? 83. And boy, has God been good to me. And why isn't it always on? Well, I think it's on. Where am I at here? Come on, friend. Well, great day. I don't know what's going on there. Sometimes it don't work like it's supposed to. It's on, but you're not hearing it. It's on, but you're not hearing it. All right. God bless you. Been a joy to be with you. Jesus is coming any moment, my friends, and God bless your heart.
I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love. Torn between my precious friends and family and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone, celebrate me home. I've spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone.